I want to invite you to reach for your handout as we begin this season of Advent. And it's something that's interesting because in our world, we pretty much skip Advent. We move right to the Christmas season. We complain if people don't tell Merry Christmas when really it's not Christmas until December 25th. We put all of our stock in the joy and the desire of what's coming and forget that there's a place in the church's calendar that says, hey, don't be premature in your celebration, because anything worth having is worth waiting for. And that there's a long wait for the things that matter the most. You know, in our world, there is this sense, and rightfully so, because our world needs some joy, where we sit back in December and sometimes even before Thanksgiving and say, ah, the Christmas season. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And we begin that preparation for good cheer. We have holiday parties. Our shopping malls start being bedecked in Christmas decorations. The Christmas carols are playing. Christmas parades march up and down the streets of city and towns everywhere. Parents and grandparents stock up on that perfect Christmas gift for their children or grandchildren. And the mood is generally light and filled with joy. And that's all good. Until these same good people, like you and I, enjoying all these Christmas festivities, darken the door of a house of worship and realize all of a sudden, it's not Christmas. It won't be Christmas till December 25th. It is something very important, however. It's Advent. And so if we come with that Christmas cheer into the first, second, third, fourth weeks of church, we might be in for a rude awakening and shock to realize that the church isn't offering the same thing our culture is offering. There aren't city sidewalks, busy sidewalks dressed in holiday style here in the church. There's no jolly Santa. There's no smiling Mary. There are no singing angels. There will be, but there aren't yet. And there's certainly no cooing, cute baby Jesus. Instead, there's an adult Jesus saying some very challenging things. Things like we read in the first paragraph, things that are distressing to say the least. Verse 25, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars. The earth will experience distress. Nations will be confused. Verse 26, people will faint, foreboding for what is coming. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. Jesus, not the baby Jesus, not the cute Jesus, but the adult Jesus, who understands life in the real world, says, you know, as you're awaiting my coming, things won't be easy. The world will be a world in which darkness seems to reign. It will be a world in which the heavens and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. The nations will be at war. People will be fighting. They'll be distressed. They'll be anguished. This is not something you'd put on a Christmas card. And yet it is an Advent reading. It is a word that has to do with our preparation for Christmas. It is a word for us that has to do with adequately preparing and being Advent people so that when Christ finally arrives, we know the blessing of what it means for the light to enter into the darkness. Our Advent card, if we were to use that imagery in the first paragraph to put together an Advent card, would be a card that would be absolutely terrifying and glorious. Because to miss the glory in that first paragraph is to really miss out on why Jesus shares all the bitter truth at the beginning. There is glory. Look at verse 27. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So when these things take place, stand up, raise your heads. Your redemption is drawing near. The whole truth that Jesus wants to portray for us is that the future, as we know it, is both terrifying and glorious. There's no sugarcoating for Jesus during Advent, no getting lost in nostalgia. He understands that the future is dark because of human sin, but also the future is bright because Christ is coming in glory. And so in the midst of the darkness, the terror, the confusion and distress, he says to his church, hold your heads up high. Your redemption is drawing near. Do not for one moment think all this darkness and distress and violence and war is in any way going to eclipse the promise of Christ coming. And that's what we do during Advent. We're looking not only back to Christ's first coming, but as people of Advent, we are awaiting Christ's second coming. And we're listening to our Lord tell us what it means to be people who wait, people who are looking for the arrival of God in our world and in our lives. And in doing that, Jesus is brutally honest. And that's what I love about Jesus. You know, if you're really careful with the Gospels, at times you love Jesus, at times you just think, please, Jesus, you know, we can't stand this much truth. Can't you just sugarcoat it a little? A little sweetness with the medicine might be helpful for us, but Jesus tells it like it is. He tells it like it will be. And because he tells it like it is and how it will be, he always has good news that's found against the backdrop of very bad news. And that's the brutal honesty we need in this world. Life isn't a cakewalk. You know that. I know that. We all understand that. We all look forward into the future as people who are waiting for something with a sense of anxiety and distress. There are things that overwhelm us. Even today, we could just look over the past month, and that's all we need to do and realize there are countless communities cleaning up after hurricanes and after wildfires. There are wars and tensions escalating in our world. Major job loss at GM this last week, bringing distress and crisis into people's lives. We have the immigration crisis on top of all of that. And Jesus is not naive enough to say to us who are in the midst of all of these throes and challenges, hey, everything's fine. He's not an optimist in that way, that somehow refuses to see the darkness and tries only to look at the bright side of life. He's willing to describe to us all the challenging things, all the darkness, but always to hold before us the glorious promise that all of this darkness, all this distress, cannot thwart God's promise. That ultimately the bad news cannot eclipse the good news, and therefore his message to us in this passage is don't lose hope. Because we can lose hope. We can, because of the darkness surrounding us, allow that to pervade us so much that we fail to hold on to that which we need in order to survive, and that is hope. We wait in hope. That's what Advent is all about, waiting in hope for God's promised deliverance. That's been the theme throughout the whole of Scripture. Israel is waiting in our Genesis, in our gospel accounts that we'll read over the coming weeks. They're waiting for a Messiah, but they're waiting under foreign occupation. They're waiting under the oppressive, occupying power of Rome. They are waiting while they're surrounded by tyrannical and violent leaders. They are waiting in a world in which it seems like the darkness has won, and yet they're called to cling to the hope that God's Messiah will arrive. We're called to do the same. In the midst of our situation, we're called to hold to cling to the hope that God will bring about God's promised salvation. That as Jesus says in verse 28, your redemption is drawing nigh. Now Jesus knew it would be hard to hold out hope. He knows how easily we're distressed, how easily we are confused, how quickly we faint with fear. And yet he refuses to paint a rosy picture of the future. He instead paints a picture that is terrifying and yet glorious. And by painting that picture, he wants us to hold on to hope in the midst of the darkness, to wait for God's promise, to face the future realistically, but to face it with hope. That's why it's so important to look at his admonition in our final paragraph. In our final paragraph, Jesus speaks to the church about what he would like them to do in light of these distressing circumstances and situations, in light of the fact that he is coming in glory, in light of this both terrifying and glorious future. And he gives us some words of warning and also of preparation. He invites us in verse 34 to be on guard. Be on guard. Be watching. Be very, very attentive and alert. Be on guard, verse 34, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation. It's not a word we use much. It means carousing or partying. And drunkenness and the worries of this life, so that the day catches you unexpectedly. Jesus knows there are hope stealers. And he understands those hope stealers to be fears and worries that can overwhelm us. None of us know what the future holds. We don't know what is before us, what tragedies may strike. And in light of the past tragedies, we are at times people who, in an attempt to remove those fears and worries, we kind of try to party it away. Or we try to self-medicate so that we don't have to face the crisis or face the worry. And that works for a day, a week, a month, years at times for some people who can handle it well, but it ultimately fails because you can't medicate away reality. You can't drink enough to stop the darkness from encroaching upon you eventually. So that Jesus says, instead of drunkenness and dissipation and being overwhelmed with the worries in verse 34, be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down. Be aware of these hope stealers. If you're going to imagine a future, and that's what worry does, if you're going to imagine a future, don't imagine it without the promise that Christ is coming and His redemption draws nigh. Don't imagine a future without the presence of the loving, living, life-giving Christ. Instead, make sure that you've guarded your heart and you don't allow the worries, the fears, all of these things to eclipse all of the hope that you should carry. So He tells us to guard against hope stealers, and then He invites us to practice some hope builders. Verse 36, be alert, which is the same language of be on guard. Be alert at all times. Good times, bad times, and everything in between. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength. There is this call that Jesus gives, and He's aware that we don't have the strength within ourselves. That if we have to bear the weight of the world on our own shoulders with all of its fears, all of its worries, all of its threats, all of its challenges, we will buckle under the weight. And so He tells us, guard your hope, don't let it be stolen, and then build your hope. Build your hope, and one of the things He says at all times, pray. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Work within us hope. Strengthen us with a strength that comes from beyond ourselves so that we can move forward in hope with the courage and strength that God's grace provides. Jesus is fully aware we'll buckle without the strength that God will give us. So Jesus gives these warnings. He wants us to prepare. This is what Advent is about, and one of the things we do during this season of Advent, so that we can fully appreciate the coming of Christ on December 25th, so we can continually await the second coming of our Lord, is we make sure our hope is not stolen, sometimes by our own doing, by our own fears, by our own worries. We make sure that we build up our hope through prayer, through worship, through service, through giving, through continually leaning into the promises of God. We do this so that the terrifying and yet glorious future remains balanced for us. That we don't allow the terror to eclipse the glory. And for all we can say, that we don't allow the vision of glory to make us blind to the real challenges and terrors that we all have to face. Advent is not a time to run and hide or duck and cover, but it's a time to stand strong. To be Advent people, to be people of, like the Advent candles, people of hope, people of peace, people of love, people of joy, in the midst of some distressing, difficult, and hard waiting. It's during Advent that we commit anew to stand up straight and hold our heads high as we await Christ's coming. As we attempt to do what Jesus invites us to do, to hold two things together which are very hard to hold together, to be realistic about how the world is going, and at the same time not to lose hope in the future, but instead to wait courageously and patiently in hope. There are real reasons to fear, but there's also real reason to hope. Christ is coming. The darkness is real, but it cannot prevail, for the light of God eclipses all the darkness that we could ever possibly imagine. Would you pray with me?